Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, that my words would be your words, and they would bring comfort to all that hear them. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, last week, heard some not the best news. Someone close to the family was diagnosed with a form of leukemia. And it just started making me think. It brought up questions. He's actually a little younger than I am. And as some of you know, I turned 44 this week. So that kind of compiled on this, I'm getting older. What's going to happen? You know, you start asking these questions. You know, and it just kind of, it's not a good feeling. It wasn't good. You know, thinking about my father at my age, he was dealing with a cancer diagnosis as well. You know, and you pray, God, give me what you want to give me. You know, good Lord, you're in control. But what is it? Am I going to see 88? I saw 44. Am I going to see 88? Is it going to be a life full of health or not? And then even as a pastor, you kind of go to the end. The judgment. And as the pastor, you still ask, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Am I good enough? You know, as the sermon title says, you know, I just want to be a sheep. You know, I want to be a sheep. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be ushered to the right-hand side of God. Maybe you know the Sunday school song. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. You know, I just want to be a sheep, but yeah, come on, you can join in. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. And of course, the corresponding verse for this sermon is, I don't want to be a goat. Nope, I don't want to be a goat. Nope, because goats have no hope. Oh, what do you want to be? I just want to be a sheep. And it seems like Jesus lays it all out there, gives us six things that sheep do. They feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the sick and those in prison, and welcome strangers in. Have I done it enough? You know, if it's a checklist, sure, I can go through it. I can kind of check off the boxes, you know, feeding the hungry. Well, as some of you know, one of the ministries in Clifton was giving the wild hogs out as meat, and so I cleaned about 100 hogs. And gave those out. Check. Well, in seminary, we had Forest Park next to us, and group of guys in summer Greek went out and handed out water bottles and prayed with people. Just whoever would talk with us. So check. You know, welcome people in. Happened here. Welcome somebody in, and they took a shower till midnight. And it was a long one, but it's welcoming in. So praise God. And I visited some of you in the hospital even already. And thank you that I haven't been able to do that a lot. I'm glad. Praise God. You know, and even jump through hoops to see members at my last congregation in the county jail. And I'm sure you can kind of go through that list as well and check the boxes. But even after you've gone through the list, and even if you've checked all the boxes, it still comes, is that enough? Is it once and I'm good? Is it more? Because I just want to be a sheep. You know, this is our last parable. We've gone through parables for over a month now, and a couple months maybe, and we're going to be moving on. And I hope that as you study these with us on Sunday morning, and as you maybe looked at other parables, you understand the ones we've talked about, sure, but you've also seen a way to look at the scriptures as a whole, and especially the parables. That is not about us. If we put ourselves at the center, we usually take these parables down ways that Jesus doesn't intend them. But if we put Jesus at the center, then it all seems to work out. Remember the parable of the hidden treasure. If it's about us and I sell all that I have to find Jesus and to follow him, well, I've never done that. I still have plenty of stuff. But Jesus left the throne room. Jesus gave everything and died for me so that I might be the treasure that he desires, so that I can be with him. You know, the lost sheep, the lost coin. What do they do in the story? nothing but get lost. The sheep wanders off. The coin might roll off the table or fall out of a pocket. And it's the shepherd or the woman in the stories or the Savior that goes and finds them and rejoices over them. And even a parable that we didn't look at, the parable of the sower, so often we hear it's about the soil types. Are you rocky soil? Are you the soil with thorns or not? But if you really look at the context, it's not about that. It's about Jesus' ministry. And why is it struggling? Why is it not just growing rapidly if he's the Son of God? It's because there is opposition to it. That's really the force of that. And so even with this parable, and we look at the separation of the sheep and the goats, I think we have to ask the question, who's working? Who's the actor of all these verbs throughout it? And then when we do that again, it's not us. It's not us. We have been gathered at the beginning, and it's Jesus, the judge who judges. He's the one who separates, and he's the one who speaks to the sheep and to the goats. And so listen again. Maybe even make this memory work for you this week. These wonderful words to what the king will say to those on the right. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Those are some amazing words, especially when we're asking the question, have we done enough? Am I good enough? Because it's not about you. See, did you hear? Come and receive the inheritance of the kingdom that has been prepared for you since when? The beginning of the world. Before the foundations of the world. He's not some, high school baseball coach that has a checklist. Okay, this person only hit the ball hard 3 out of 10 times. They booted the ball twice in the infield. They didn't hustle much JV. This person, 9 out of 10 hard hit balls, maybe not all base hits, but they were hit hard, fielded correctly, wonderful leader, great enthusiasm, varsity. No, Jesus says this kingdom has been prepared for you from before the foundations of the world. I just want to be a sheep is a great song. But it's wrong. You are a sheep. Because it's already been given to you. Jesus has prepared you. He has elected you, predestined you from the beginning to be his people. And so we have this wonderful assurance. Because we trust in him, we are sheep right now. We don't have to wait to that last day to know if I'm on the right or on the left, because Jesus has made you a sheep of his pasture. And as Hannah shared, there's an inheritance. My mom and her husband are here today, and it's a wonderful time to spend with them. But many, many years down the road, when God calls them home, if they want to leave an inheritance for me and my family, it's not because I'm good. It's not because I've done something. It's because they love us. That's it. I can't force them to do it. I can't do stuff to make them want to say, okay, we're going to leave you this refrigerator or whatever it might be. It's because of their love. And that's the exact same thing with God. He doesn't love you because you've done something. He loves you because he loves you. It's an amazing thing. He loves you because he cares for you. And he's done everything for you. And you have an inheritance that has been given to you, and it's a wonderful blessing for you. It's heaven. Did you hear the difference between the sheep and the goats when he talks to them? Take the inheritance. This is to the sheep. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And to the ones on the left, the goats, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God has prepared heaven for us from the beginning. God desires all people to be saved. God desires all people to come and know him. But if they reject, if they turn away and say, I don't want Jesus' death on the cross to be for me, then he'll send them somewhere. And it's away from him. It's to the place where he has created not for people, but for the devil and his fallen angels. God loves us so much that he has prepared a place for us. He wants to be with us. You are sheep as you trust in him. So do good works matter? What are the point? What's the point of them in this story then? Because they do matter. But it's not for heaven. It's rather because you are a sheep, you live like a sheep. You know, if you were to go out into a flock of sheep and you saw one up a tree and one swimming in water and one, you know, running real, real, real fast, beating out other animals, you would kind of go, what's going on? Because that's not sheep. They don't climb, they don't swim, and they really have no defenses. Well, that's what God wants to see when he looks at us as well. We are his sheep, and so he wants us to be doing sheep things. And we have a good shepherd, and we follow the shepherd, so we learn from him. We follow in his footsteps, and we care. This world is messed up. It's hard when you hear cancer diagnosis. It's hard when there's death. It's hard where there's hatred. It's hard where people don't get along. And so we are to go out and we are to love because we are his sheep. We are his flock. We get to be God's hands, his feet. We do it because our neighbor needs it, right? I mean, these people didn't even realize. It wasn't like they were going out and saying, yes, I'm going on a mission trip, but it's all for God's glory, which is a good thing. They just went out and did what they were supposed to do. When Jesus said, you did all this, they said, when did we do that? We don't remember that. Because when there was a need, they filled it. When there was people who were hurting, they helped them. Because it's just what sheep do. It's what we do as followers of Christ. We sacrifice, we go out and we love others. We are his sheep. So that other sheep can know the love of Christ. You know, it says what you do for the least of these, my brothers and sisters. So yes, it starts here. When we see needs here, we are to fill them for each other. But I don't think it just stops here in this family and even the Christians on the other side of the world, but it goes out into the other goat pastures. And we show a little bit of love, a little bit of Christ, and maybe they get a glimpse of him. Not us, but him. And they turn, they return to him. They repent of their sins and move back as he rescues them, as he has rescued us. You are a sheep. You are a sheep of the good shepherd. Live that way. Proclaim the goodness of Christ, the one who has rescued you, as you love one another, as you care for your brothers and your sisters, because he has done it all for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son to die for us, the shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep. And that he has a kingdom, and he has given us the wonderful inheritance of that kingdom, that we will be with you because of him. Let us rest assured in that. When life throws curveballs, when death is drawing nearer and nearer as we get older and we start to question things, that we would find hope, not in what we've done, not in the religious road that we've walked or that we know so much, but rather we have trust in you. Lord, allow us to be your sheep. Allow us to go out in love. Because our neighbor needs it. Those around us need our gifts, our love, our support. Lord, open our eyes to see people the way you see them, so that we might love them like you would love us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise as we go to the Lord in prayer.